Presbyterian Reformed circles, so we should not talk about potluck suppers, but providential delight. So we hope that you understand and appreciate that. If you're coming Wednesday night, you're not coming to potluck, you're coming to providential delight. And we don't ordinarily make TV commercials, but if you happen to be watching your TV tonight after the evening service on Channel 7 at 8:30, there'll be a continuation of a very interesting program that started last week on the cult, in which the Moonies, the Unification Church, the Children of God, and the Hare Krishna group were examined and questioned, and there'll be a continuation of that tonight. And we ought to be knowing these things that confront us each and every day on the street corners and in the airports and a lot of other places. And this was a 2.5-hour program last week that really got pointed and got down to brass tacks in some of these things. Tonight at 8:30 on Channel 7, that's the Atlanta station, will be a continuation of this. But most informative. All right, if you have your Bibles, will you please open again to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Tonight I direct our attention particularly to one verse, John 17, 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Have you ever wondered why you sometimes get the reactions that you do when you have sought to share your faith with some other person? When you have sought to tell the gospel to some other individual or sought to live Jesus Christ before some people? Now, certainly, I think we've all experienced that there are certain people that we have encountered who you can tell immediately have been prepared by the Holy Spirit. Their hearts and their minds are open and they're ready. Perhaps they've been attracted by your life, by your testimony, and they're ready to be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know immediately when we come upon a person like that, that the Holy Spirit has been working upon that person. Perhaps some of you have also had the experience of coming up against individuals who not only were not open and ready to hear your testimony, but they might have been downright hostile and scornful, even critical. They may even have ridiculed your life and your testimony. And they wanted nothing to do with your Christ, and they wanted nothing to do with his gospel. And for you, perhaps it's not always been the pat on the back, but sometimes it's been rough treatment. Have you ever wondered why it's this way? Well, look tonight again, if you will, here in John 17 in our Lord's high priestly prayer of intercession. Notice what he says here, for example, in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou hast given it, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Then verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And then verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. And what Jesus is saying here is that these people that he has called to be his own, and these who have been brought to faith, who are no longer of this world order, but belong to him, to those to whom he has entrusted the word, they now have encountered the hostility of this world in which they live. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Now, there are several things that we want to look at tonight in this verse particularly. First, you notice here, I have given them thy word. Whose word? The Father's word, God's word. And it's because of this, he says, that the world hath hated them. What is God's word? It's God's testimony concerning his Son and the salvation he's brought to men. Now, the giving of the word, look back here again at verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. The Father has given men his word. This is what we call revelation. When the theologians talk about revelation, what they're talking about is divine truth that man could never find out by his own intellect, knowledge that man could never come upon by himself, but that God has been pleased to reveal. We talk about special revelation. God has revealed himself particularly in two special ways. He has revealed his mind and his will and his plan in the written word, the Holy Scripture. And he has revealed himself supremely in the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have given them thy word. Now the Lord Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled and he executed the word of God in his person and in his work. But the point that we want to make tonight is this. The Son passed on that word to his apostles. And through what we know as inspiration, the apostles have given us that word in written form. Remember, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is possible and so forth. Now, the word inspiration means God breathed. That word originated with God. Jesus Christ entrusted that word to the apostles. And the apostles were superintended and guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit so that they gave us the exact word, the exact message that God wanted us to have. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Where we read concerning the ascension. Until the day in which he was taken up, that is Christ, when he ascended, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Before the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, he had trained those apostles for 3 years. After his resurrection, he had a 40-day post-resurrection ministry in which he enlightened them and led them further into the truth. They were guided and superintended by the Holy Spirit. Then turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus is speaking and he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Here is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ to his apostles, that they will be enlightened, that they will be guided, that they will be superintended, that the Holy Spirit will bring to their minds the remembrance those things which he had taught them. Here again, the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the apostles giving the word. I have given them thy word. Again, look over John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. John 15, verses 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And he also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. But what we're looking at now in the scripture is the giving of the word. I have given them thy word, thy revelation, thy truth, superintended, controlled, guided by the Holy Spirit to these apostles. In the light of that, then, how did the apostles look at this word that they had been given? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. How did they regard this preaching, this teaching that had been entrusted to them? We read here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, as a result of the preaching and the teaching that they had been given by the Lord Jesus Christ, that had been superintended by the Holy Spirit and guided and controlled, when they passed that on, when they wrote their epistles, when they preached and when they taught, they looked upon that not as the word of men, but as Paul says, as it is in truth the word of God. Now Jesus says here in the high priestly prayer, I have given them thy word. And this is the way that the word was passed on, so that today you and I have the word of God written, the truth of God, the revelation of God written in the Holy Scripture. Please remember that we Presbyterians, when we talk about the word of God, when we talk about the Bible, we're not as some who have taught and said and preached in the last 20 or 30 years, yes, I believe the Bible contains the word of God. By that they mean, when something in the Bible speaks to my heart at that particular point, this book becomes for me the word of God. But actually, this book is a collection of errors and myths and fairy tales. It's not reliable. It's not good history. It's not accurate in science. But it becomes for me the word of God when it speaks to me in a certain place. Now, that's the neo-orthodox view of the scripture, which predominated in most of our denominational seminaries for 20 or 30 years. But that's not what we mean when we say the Bible is the word of God. We mean that from the very first chapter of Genesis to the very last chapter of the book of the Revelation, this is indeed the inspired, inerrant, given, written revelation of God. It is the entire Word of God, the whole book. and that we can trust it. And thus saith the Lord, and we can bank on it. So please keep that in mind. And this is what Jesus means. I have given them thy word. Now we ordinarily think Jesus Christ giving to us his three great gifts. First of all, he gave himself. He gave himself entirely and completely for our salvation. Then he gave us the Holy Spirit as our advocate, as our paraclete, as our comforter, as our enabler, as our inspirer. And then he has given us his word. His word of promise, which is full of power. His word of salvation, which is eternal and free. His word of spirit and life. And it is this word which is the foundation of our faith. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's the food for the inner man. And it's the sword of the Spirit by which we carry the blows and the attacks of our adversary, even Satan. And it's by the word that he keeps us. It's by the word that he comforts us. It's by the word that he guides us. It's by the word that he undergirds us. And you and I need to put our confidence completely in the word of God. I have given them thy word. Now what's the reaction to the giving of the word? Notice up here in verse 8 again, in John 17. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Look again at verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of thy world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now this to me is always one of the first and foremost and practical evidences of a person being in a right relationship with the Lord. How can you tell that a person really knows and loves the Lord? They have received thy word. They have believed thy word. They have kept thy word. Receiving, believing, keeping, obeying the word of God is one of the most practical evidences of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, taking God at his word and acting upon it. How do I know this? Look in your Bibles at John chapter 14, verse 23. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. Turn back, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11, at verses 27 and 28. Luke 11, 27 and 28. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And here in the high priestly prayer, he says, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Here is true practical evidence of the reality of a relationship with the Lord. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. And in the keeping of the word, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the God and Savior of our faith. Isn't this also true? This is the way that we maintain that communion and that union with Jesus Christ. Look again at John 15, 7. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And my words abide in you. That is, they find a home in your heart. They have the rightful place in your life. And they're abiding in you, making their home in you. He says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But until that word is received, until that word is believed, until that word is kept, it is of no profit. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and so on. Therefore, the scriptures are clear. We need to give heed to this word. Turn over to the Epistle to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give them our earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by him that heard him? Beloved, we need to take the word seriously. We need to believe what God has revealed, what God has spoken, what God has said in the pages of the book. I have given them thy word. They have received that word. They have believed that word. They have kept that word. Our reaction to the word of God is vitally important. And so the writer of Hebrews says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard in the pages of the Scripture. Now, what is the consequence of having received and kept the word? It takes us right back here to verse 14 of John 17. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Now remember, when the Bible talks here about the world, it's talking about unregenerate society. It's talking about the mass of mankind that is living in rebellion to Almighty God, that's without God and without hope, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind that those who have received this word, those who have believed the word, those who keep the word, are new creatures. They're new creations in Christ Jesus. Jesus repeatedly in this passage, he said, they're no longer of the world, just as I'm not of the world. They don't belong anymore. They've got a whole new standard of values and goals and purposes and so forth. They don't belong anymore. But I have given them thy word. And as they minister that word, as they share that word, as they share that gospel, they're going to arouse the animosity and the opposition of this world that's without God and without hope. Why? Because this word cuts right across the grain of the world. It goes completely contrary to the world's outlook, to the world's philosophy. For example, this word says that man is a sinner and he can't save himself. In other words, human pride and self-righteousness are condemned. Now, if you don't believe this, I dare you sometime to go out and knock at a door, or even somebody you know, perhaps, and ask them the question. Supposing you were to die tonight, and you had to go and stand before God, and God would ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? And you watch and see what kind of an answer you get 99 times out of 100. If that answer is not based on pride and self-righteousness, I'm trying to do my best, I'm working at it. But this word comes and it cuts right across the grain. And it says, man, you're a sinner and you can't help yourself. You're lost. You're without God and without hope. This word says that the blood of Jesus Christ alone cleanses from sin. And it gets the natural man's self-styled religiosity. In fact, there are some denominations where they are trying to take all the hymns that have anything to do about the blood of Christ, trying to take them out of the hymnal. It's an offense. Butcher shop religion. But this is the message of the Scripture. This is the heart of the gospel. And it runs cross-grain to the philosophy and outlook of the world. And the word of God creates a revolution in every life that it enters. Now you see, the natural man wants to deal with external. He doesn't want to deal with internal. But Jesus Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And the word of God cuts right down to the core of the human heart. And says, we got to deal with you right down in the core of your being. And this rubs. It's rough against man's natural outlook. Now, there are many different ways in which the world manifests its hatred and its opposition to this word that has been entrusted to you and to me. We'll close with it. There's persecution. And there have been many, many believers down through the years who have been put to death for their faithfulness to the testimony of the Lord God. Bibles have been burned. But you know the old saying, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and it's never worked. They never gotten rid of the Christian faith, or the Christian church, or the word of God by persecution. But another method the world has used is try to corrupt the truth, to attack the integrity of the word. And this is what many of us and many of you have been facing and enduring for 20 or 30 years. In our colleges, in our universities, in our seminaries, attacking the integrity of the word. Corrupting the word. God has always had his faithful remnant of good truth, who have maintained that the Bible is the infallible rule of faith and practice. Then something not quite so severe has come to name calling and the ridicule and the scorn. I learned just this past week that even Trinity Church has gotten some of this in its reputation. that we're called bibliologists, that we worship the Bible over here at the corner of Hall and Helden. We don't worship the Bible, we worship the God of the Bible. But we believe that the Bible is indeed God's Word, and we trust it completely. And we preach it completely without apology. But there's a name college. Bibliologists, and we get the sneers and all the rest. Another attempt is to cause Christians to compromise, to take them to worldliness, to negate the testimony, to negate the Word. One old saint has said, God's truth is not changed, Satan is not changed, the world's hatred is not changed. But what changed? Professing Christians have changed. They are careless about the keeping of the Word of God. But beloved, Jesus Christ said, I have given them thy Word. And those first believers received that Word. They believed that Word. They kept that Word. They passed on that Word. And that's your calling, and that's my calling tonight, to be faithful to the Word. And the great heroes of the Reformation, Martin Luther, as he stood that day before that church council and was told to recant. Remember his great testimony. He says, I take my stand on the Word of God. Here I stand. I could do no other. Will you stand for the Word of God? Will you receive the truth? Will you believe the truth? Will you keep the truth? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ has given unto us his Word. How we thank you tonight, Father, that that Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And how we rejoice tonight that you have given us the promise that that Word shall not return unto thee void, but that it shall accomplish that which thou hast purposed. And we thank thee, Father, for those great heroes of the faith down through the centuries who have kept the Word of God and who passed it on. And Lord, living in the line of that great heritage, we pray tonight that you'll make us a people of the book, a people who will receive the truth of God into their hearts, a people, Father, who will believe that Word and step out of that Word and act upon that Word. And a people, our Father, who will maintain a day-by-day warm, vital, close relationship with the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now dismiss us with thy blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.